Welcome one and all to our midweek church service on this beautiful and warmer Wednesday evening compared to last week. Praise God that he's continuing to be in control of his work, that his truth is indeed filling this earth in a greater way as each day passes with his glory, and more precious souls are hearing the truth and making their decisions for or against it. And praise God that more and more individuals are choosing to leave Babylon and to enter into eternal life through Jesus Christ. So welcome, dear ones. Welcome to those that are on the phone and to those listening to the recording. And let's get right into our church service this evening. Our opening song is entitled, In Times Like These. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID1936.htm. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, and be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, and be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Indeed, dear ones, as we're living in the very last days of this earth's history, be very sure that you are anchored onto Jesus Christ and that you are holding on to Him with every ounce of grace and strength and faith that you have. I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel for opening prayer. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you for thy many and wonderful blessings, thy watchful care, thy divine protection, for ruling and overruling in each and every one of our affairs and the different situations that are affecting us. Thank you for being a present help in every time of need. Thank you that you're just a prayer away. And thank you for allowing us to be your sons and daughters and for being our Father. Dear Father, we give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting. We pray that thy presence will be in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. And please bathe us with the glory and the atmosphere of heaven. Dispel all darkness in our hearts, all misunderstandings, miscomprehensions of thy word of truth. Remove all of these from us. Let it be crucified along with selfishness, so that Jesus may only take the throne of our heart and we will not allow it to be divided with any other person or any other thing and object. Help us to understand in a more clear way the power that is found in prayer, the benefits to our spiritual life, and also for eternity that come through communication with thee. And thank you so much for doing so and for being here in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome again, one and all, and appreciate you choosing to join with us on this beautiful Wednesday evening here, at least on the West Coast. I'm not sure what the weather is like in your particular area, but regardless of what's happening outside, we know that God is going to bless us inside, especially with this truth. So let us get right into our study for this evening. We are continuing in our article. It's entitled Pray Without Ceasing. And we're down to the fifth paragraph that begins, Christ has given his disciples assurance. So, pray without ceasing, down to the fifth paragraph. Christ has given his disciples assurance that special occasions for devotion are necessary. Prayer went before and sanctified every act of his ministry. He communed with his Father till the close of his life. And when he hung upon the cross, there arose from his lips the bitter cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then, in a voice which has reached to the very ends of the earth, he exclaimed, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Strength for the performance of daily duties is derived from worshiping God in the beauty of holiness. The night seasons of prayer which the Savior spent in the mountain or in the desert were essential to prepare him for the trials he must meet in the days to follow. So where do we find our strength to perform the daily duties and responsibilities that is our particular lot for that particular day? We find our strength from worshiping God in the beauty of holiness. So not worshiping Him according to our own ideas, but worshiping God in the beauty of holiness according to His Word. worshiping God by bringing yourself to live by every word of God. In other words, you're allowing your character to be molded and shaped into His glorious character. So that's where we derive our strength to perform our daily duties and responsibilities, is by worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And where did the Savior find the faith and the preparation to meet the trials that He would face in the following days? It was by the time He spent with His Father in prayer. If Christ did not pray, then He would not have the grace and the strength that He needed in order to resist all of the temptations from the devil. So if you find yourself struggling in some particular area that you know is wrong, that you know God doesn't appreciate or God doesn't give His approbation to, He doesn't approve of, then where are you going to find the grace and the strength to overcome those areas? It's through prayer. Seasons of prayer. So not just one time, but many times. That's how Christ was able to overcome temptation. That's how He was able to meet all of the testing and the troubling and the problems that were caused by His enemies. It was through prayer. And that's the same way that we can do it. Because we're told in Revelation 3, I believe it's verse 21, that we're to overcome as Christ overcame. So He's our example. We are to overcome by following the same example of overcoming that Christ revealed to us. And that means we must pray more often. Sometimes Christ prayed all night long because He knew He was going to be severely tested the next day. That's how important prayer is to overcoming. It's where we find our strength. It's how we obtain grace and courage and fortitude. It's how we draw closer to God. And the closer we are to God, the farther away the devil is. So the night seasons of prayer, which the Savior spent in the mountains or in the desert, were essential to prepare Him for the trials that He would meet. Continuing, He felt the need of the refreshing and invigorating of soul and body, that He might meet the temptations of Satan, and those who are striving to live His life will feel the same need. So when you spend time with God in prayer, how do you feel afterwards? If you're praying correctly, then you will be refreshed. Your soul and body will be invigorated. You will be that much better prepared in heart and in spirit to meet and overcome the temptations of Satan, especially as we live in these last days. If prayer was important back in the days of our forefathers, who didn't live in the last days of Earth's history as we are now, then, dear ones, prayer is so much more important today because we're that much closer to heaven. And if we would just spend time with God, talking to Him as we would our Father, our closest friend, pouring our souls out to Him, letting them know we don't know what to do. We're confused about this situation. Praying to him for direction. We would come away from those type of prayers refreshed, invigorated, and know what God would have us do. And no matter how much time you spent in that season of prayer, that time was not lost. It was well worth it. So, dear ones, don't begrudge your prayer time, but make time out of your busy schedule. Set aside specific times if you have to where you devote it to talking with God, praying to him, communing with him, and he with you. It's needful, dear ones, especially in these last days. And you will not be able to overcome sin without it. You will not be able to make it to heaven without prayer. Prayer is like breathing to the soul. It allows your spiritual life to remain alive and active. So just as you must breathe in order to live and function and be active, it's the same with prayer to your spiritual life. So please make time each day, several times a day if you have to where you devote it to prayer, and you will be blessed. Continuing, the Christian is given the invitation to carry his or her burdens to God in prayer and to fasten himself closely to Christ by the cords of living faith. The Lord authorizes us to pray, declaring that he will hear the prayers of those who trust in his infinite power. He will be honored by those who draw nigh to him, who faithfully do his service. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So who is honored to have us come and talk with him, to pray to him, to faithfully perform his service? It's our Heavenly Father. It's an honor for us to go to God and to communicate with him in prayer. Not just an honor for us to do it, but God is honored by us coming before him. Who are we to be honored by God? And yet, God is pleased to have us come before him. He's honored to have us draw nigh to him. I mean, that's just wonderful to comprehend. I mean, in Luke, Christ tells us very plainly that after we have done everything that it's our responsibility and duty to perform, that after we've done everything our Master has told us to do, we are still unprofitable servants. Why is that? Because we're contaminated with sin. So after we've done everything that God requires us to do, we're still unprofitable servants. We still have to be saved. But yet, if we're hid in Christ and we pray and draw nigh to God, he's honored by us doing so. Why is he honored by unprofitable servants? because we come before him through Christ. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And God looks upon us not as we are, unprofitable servants, but as we are in Christ Jesus, perfectly righteous and holy because we're clothed in the precious garments of salvation. Without the mediator, Jesus Christ, between us and the Father, we would never be able to approach him. He wouldn't hear our prayers at all. But through Christ, through his righteousness, through his ministration as our high priest, we're able to come before God without being repulsed. He accepts us in the beloved. He draws us close to him. And he calls us his sons and daughters. That's why God is honored to have you and I, through Christ, come before him, just as any father on the earth is honored to have his children draw close to him and to tell him their troubles, their questions, the heart searchings that they're going through, the uncertainty that they're experiencing. I tell you, dear ones, I really love it when my kids come to me and ask me for counsel, or just call me on the phone and want to talk to me and share with me some part of their day. I consider it an honor and a privilege to come close to my kids. Now, I'm sinful. I'm of a sinful character. I'm of a fallen nature. If I am honored by my kids choosing to place their confidence in me, how much more does our Heavenly Father feel that and long to experience that from each one of his sons and daughters? And it's through Christ that makes it all possible. It makes this bond between us and the Father possible. So God says that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When you're praying to God, you're trusting, you have faith that he hears your prayers and that he will answer them according to his perfect will. Dear ones, that's what God is waiting for you to come to him and tell him your inmost problems, concerns, questions. And you will be blessed with divine grace and strength, invigoration of soul and spirit, and able to go forward and meet the responsibilities of that day or the next day. All of that is possible through prayer. Continuing. The arm of omnipotence is outstretched to guide us and lead us onward and still upward. Go forward, the Lord says. I understand the case, and I will send you help. Continue to pray. Have faith in me. It is for my name's glory that you ask, and you shall receive. I will be honored before those who are watching critically for your failure. They shall see the truth triumph gloriously. All things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So if you have enemies seeking your downfall, if you have false brethren or sisters, false friends that are trying to trip you up or try to catch you in some word that you misspoke, or try to get you to make some statement that they can capitalize on, what should you do in those situations? Go to God in prayer. He understands what you're going through. He will give you help and the wisdom that you need in order to avoid falling in the traps and the pits and the snares of the devil's agents. And God will deliver you from all of their schemes. It will be for His glory to deliver you and defeat all of the devil's agents. And that way you can turn around and give glory to God and honor Him, because He is your deliverer. I mentioned before, what's God's phone number? What is the direct line to heaven? It's found in Psalms 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. So if you know you're in trouble, claim Psalms 50, verse 15. And pray to God. Call upon Him. He knows the case. He sees what the enemy is doing. He knows where every snare and trap is laid, no matter how careful and secret the enemy and his agents have been. And He'll give you the wisdom to avoid them. He'll give you the help that you need, and your enemies will be defeated. This is not for our glory. This is for the glory of God and the truth to triumph over evil. All things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, God will give you. Now, this isn't some prosperity doctrine. This is dealing with praying for the things that you need that are in accordance with God's will, especially in seeing the truth triumph. That's what prayer is for. That the truth may triumph over evil in your life, in the life of others, in the life of the home church, in the life of God's messengers spreading around the world the life-saving gospel. Praying to God for help that you might live the truth and conquer evil and wickedness is going to be answered. There's no doubt about it. But praying for other things that aren't connected with the truth, we have to leave up to the wisdom of God to give a positive or a negative answer to. But every time we pray for God to help us live the truth, to help us spread the truth, to work in such a way that His truth triumphs gloriously over all the workers of iniquity, there's no doubt that you're going to receive a positive answer for those prayers. No questions whatsoever. And the truth will triumph gloriously in your life and in the life of God's people and in this world. For God's light of truth is going to fill this dark world with His glory, with the knowledge of salvation, with the gospel of deliverance found in Jesus Christ, and it will fill it so completely just as the waters fill the oceans. And then shall the end come. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Any testimonies that you'd like to bring forth? Okay, I think we can read one more paragraph, and then we can open it up to a season of prayer. So continuing, the believer in Christ is consecrated to high and holy purpose. Before the service of the royal priesthood, the glory of the Aaronic priesthood is eclipsed. Called according to God's purpose, set apart by grace divine, invested with Christ's righteousness, imbued with the Holy Spirit, offering up the sacrifices of a broken and contrite heart, the true believer is indeed a representative of the Redeemer. So each one of us in Christ is consecrated to a high and holy purpose. We're part of the royal priesthood that is greater in glory than the priesthood that was delivered to Aaron. In Christ, each one of us is called for a holy purpose. We're set apart by grace divine. We're invested with Christ's righteousness. We're imbued with the Holy Spirit. We're enabled to offer up the sacrifices of a broken and contrite heart, not doing our own will, but the will of God. And thus, through Christ, we are a representative of Him to others. But what if we're proud and self-sufficient? What if we're selfish in thinking of our own desires? Do we have this holy purpose? Are we still a representative of Christ? And the answer is no. It's only a broken and contrite heart that God hears and answers the prayers of. It's only those that are humble and have crucified self that can be a representative of the Redeemer. So if we're proud, we're not a representative of Christ. If we're selfish, we're not a representative of Christ. If we're breaking God's law knowingly, we're not a representative of Christ. Each one of us has been called for a holy purpose. And if we're hid in Christ, if we're humble, of a broken spirit, pleading for God to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to empower us to walk in the way of life, then, being hid in Christ Jesus, we become a representative of Him to others. Continuing, upon such a worshiper, God looks with delight. He will let His light shine into the chambers of the mind and into the soul temple if men, when they lack wisdom, will go to their closets in prayer and ask wisdom from Him who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. Upbraids means to hold back. so he doesn't hold back. The promise is, it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Christ has pledged himself to be our substitute and surety, and he neglects no one. There is an inexhaustible fund of perfect obedience accruing from his obedience. In heaven, his merits, his self-denial and self-sacrifice are treasured up as incense to be offered up with the prayers of his people. So when we pray to God, is our prayer perfect in and of itself? No. Is it pure? No. Then how can God hear it if it's not perfect and not pure? Because he is a perfect and pure God. It's because Christ takes our prayers, he makes them perfect, he applies his merits and righteousness to our prayers, and thus makes them pure. And he offers them up with the incense of his righteousness before the Father. And the Father then hears these prayers and answers them because he sees us as perfectly righteous Christ. So our prayers in and of themselves are contaminated by sin. But when we direct them to the Father, Christ takes the prayers of the penitent ones, purifies them, refines them, and sanctifies them, and then allows them to come before the Father. Christ pledges himself as our high priest to do this work. And as such, there is an inexhaustible fund of perfect obedience that's open to us through Christ. All of his merits, his self-denial and self-sacrifice are added as incense with our prayers. And God answers them because he sees us like his Son. It's just wonderful to comprehend this, dear ones, and to think upon it. The work that Christ is doing for us as our mediator and high priest so that we can have direct communication with our Father, and he with us. You know, this brings to mind an analogy from a true life experience. In Israel, the shepherd that is tending the sheep sometimes finds a problem among the sheep. A wolf has entered in and has killed a mother, and this mother had a baby lamb. So now you have an orphaned lamb without a mother. At times he would also grab one of the lambs and leave a childless or lambless ewe. You would think that the shepherd could just take the baby lamb and bring it to another mother lamb, and the ewe would take it in and nurse it and raise it. But that's not what happens. Each mother and each lamb has a particular scent. And the baby lamb and the mother ewe knows this scent. So if you try to bring an orphan lamb to a mother ewe and try to get her to adopt it, the childless or lambless ewe will not take the orphan because it doesn't have the right smell. So what's a shepherd to do? What the shepherd has to do is he takes the dead lamb and he skins it and he takes off the outer covering of skin. And then he puts that outer covering of skin over the orphaned lamb that doesn't have a mother and is rejected by the other mother. And then he brings that lamb that's now covered with the dead lamb's skin to the childless mother ewe. And she accepts the orphan without looking beneath the outer covering because she smells her child lamb come back to her. Each one of us has been removed from direct communication with our Father. In our own filthy garments, we don't have the right smell, and God cannot accept us as His. In this situation, we're doomed to destruction, just as that orphaned lamb was doomed to destruction because they wouldn't get the proper nourishment to grow, the warmth and the comfort and the encouragement. It wouldn't be there. Christ recognized this, and He willingly came down, lived among us, and then died so that we might be able to be clothed in His righteousness and live. Because the Father would accept us back because we had the right smell. The Father accepts Jesus Christ as His beloved. And everyone that's clothed in the righteousness of Christ is accepted in the beloved. Christ has made our connection with the Father possible, complete, clothing us with His robe of righteousness so that we might be accepted in the Father. And then He can warm our hearts with His love, empower and encourage us with His grace and strength, and keep us safe and protected by His strong, loving arms. So when you understand this, dear ones, when you understand what Christ has provided you at an infinite price and what the Father is willing to do for you through His Son, He doesn't look beneath the robe of His Son's righteousness covering us to see how unworthy we are, how sinful and wicked we are, how contaminated we are. He doesn't look beneath the robe, but He accepts us as His son and daughter because we are clothed in the proper garments. Knowing this, don't you just want to spend more time in prayer with God, communing with your Father? It's a distinct privilege and an honor to pray and be accepted and heard by the Most High. And as we read earlier, God is honored by you coming to him as his son and daughter, because by doing so, he knows that you're trusting in him, that you want to spend time with him, that you want to get to know him better and to follow his advice. We've truly been adopted into the family of God. What a distinct honor and privilege it is to pray to our Father. And may God forgive us for not praying more. Dear ones, I ask you to please bow your heads. Let us enter into a season of prayer. And anyone who would like to pray, please feel free to do so. Our dear, precious, and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for accepting us in the Beloved, for looking no deeper than the covering that Christ, at a great sacrifice, has placed upon each one of us. Forgive us, Father, for our lack of faith. Forgive us for our selfishness and conceitedness and pride. Please cleanse us and purify us from all of these contaminating things. And we thank you for making our cleansing possible through the blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray that you will continue to work in each one of our hearts, in the hearts of our home church members and attendees and visitors, guests. Please continue to lead and guide us away from ourselves, away from the world, away from all idols that we may have set up in our hearts. And help us to spend much more time with thee in prayer, especially if we know that we're going to have a busy day or are under some stress and trial. Help us to spend more time in prayer. And please grant us the grace, the wisdom, the strength, the discernment, and the invigorating of our spiritual lives to be able to go forward and in your strength meet and overcome sin, temptation, all of our enemies, and avoid the traps, the snares, and the pitfalls that have been laid to try and bring us down to discouragement and destruction. Continue to speed and spread thy truth around the world. Please continue to hear and answer all the prayers that have been spoken in this home church, spoken by each individual member, each individual that has chosen to fellowship with us, all of your people around the world. And thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, dear Father. Continue to bring us ever closer into unity and oneness with thee and with each other. And thank you so very much for not forsaking us, but drawing us and enfolding us in your bosom of love. Because you see us through your Son as being your sons and daughters. Thank you so much for doing so. Thank you for being with us, and please continue to do so. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen and amen. Well, dear ones, is there any thoughts or comments, any testimonies, or perhaps any other prayers that you'd like to give before we close? Any songs that you'd like to sing? Please feel free to do so. I want to thank one and all for coming this evening, and thank you so much for being part of our worship service of God on this midweek church service. Please go with God. May God continue to lead and guide you, and remember to spend more time in prayer to God, because that's where you find your grace and strength. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Dear ones, may God bless. I pray that the rest of your week will be wonderful and beautiful and filled with more of the blessings of God, especially in your heart. So keep looking up, dear ones, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you again in just a couple days in our Friday evening beginning of the Sabbath service. Our love and prayers are with you all, and thank you so much for your love and prayers for me and mine.